Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll and Mooring. We are your co-hosts, David Robbins and Peter Ayer, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. The most notable development in this period is the temporary reprieve of fair pay and safe workplaces. Compliance is paused. This is thanks to a Texas court hearing the judicial challenge to the final rule. It is welcome, but again, it's temporary, so you're not off the hook yet for good, and we will be providing real-time updates through Kroll's bullet points alerts. Also in this period, the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology finalized its Enhanced Oversight and Accountability Rule, which alters the Health IT Certification Program. This rule established the government's authority to directly review certified health IT and determine whether it conforms to the requirements of the program when the certified health IT may be causing or contributing to serious risks to public health or safety, or when there are suspected nonconformities that certification bodies may be unable to effectively investigate or respond to, such as where there is confidential information. There is a lot more to this rule in terms of the government's powers and requirements upon health IT providers than can be addressed in a 5-minute podcast. Contact us or your usual Kroll and Mooring Council for more information.
So the Marine Corps issued an interesting press release during this period, touting its rapid acquisition capabilities. Specifically, they announced that the Marine Corps System Command Cyber Advisory Team successfully completed its first emergency acquisition this past summer, in an effort to more quickly respond to the military unit's cyber warfighting needs. According to the announcement, the Cyber Advisory Team responded to the emergency request, which provided a new capability in less than 30 days by using a process that involved leveraging commercial off-the-shelf hardware and software to conduct cybersecurity operations on-site and remotely protect the network. According to a related press release, the rapid cyber acquisition process still conforms to all of the key activities associated with the traditional acquisition model, but accelerates the review and approval times for required paperwork. The advisory team plans to lead acquisition and fielding efforts for emergency requirements less than 30 calendar days from statement of need to fielding, and will assist program management offices on an as-needed basis with urgent cyber requirements, 30 to 180 calendar days from statement of need to fielding. Contrast this with the release of the Pentagon's Defense Innovation Unit Experimental, or DIUX, the announcement of 12 awards totaling $36 million in expenditures, and these awards, on average, occurred just under 60 days from the first pitch. These awards were primarily to California-based companies and ranged from about $150,000 to more than $12 million, including cyber defense, high-speed drones, maritime drones, indoor mini drones, wargaming, knowledge management, and others. Now, we've heard for a while that defense acquisition is broken, that it washes innovation out of the system, that it's too expensive, too inefficient, and there have been multiple calls for reform. What's interesting to note here is the different approaches to acquisition inherent in each. According to the Marines release, they conduct acquisition using traditional authorities, but accelerate the review times. DIUX, on the other hand, focuses primarily on other transaction authorities, and may be considered more like the various advanced research products organizations making technology development grants than anything else. That works for early stage innovation, but query what happens when the technology is proven and suddenly the government wants to buy $10 million or more of the product. Will the suppliers balk at the traditional government contracting requirements then, or will they integrate, or will there be a hybrid acquisition model? This bears close watching over the coming months and years.
This was the subject of a panel, at least I was on, the Board of Contract Appeals Bar Association, a couple weeks before this podcast will air, and it was a really robust topic, gathering a lot of attention. I think it's one of the hottest topics to watch in the coming years. But moving on from that, perhaps to something a little more discreet, we close with the end of a case we've discussed a few times in the past few months. On October 14, Nevada Science Support and Technologies and the Department of Energy filed a joint motion to dismiss their Court of Federal Claims case, filed after DOE rescinded a contract to the company for managing and operating the Nevada National Security Site on the basis that the company failed to provide notice of its change in ownership to the contracting officer as required by the solicitation. The government agreed to take corrective action by including the company in the competitive range, holding discussions, requesting final proposals, and making a new award decision. This and the Lockheed Martin Leidos-related news items in recent months continues to highlight the importance of customer notification of and comfort with corporate transactions for government contractors. This has been the Fastest 5 Minutes, brought to you by Kroll and Mooring. See you again in 2 weeks. If you have any questions about these items, I can be reached at 202-624-2627 and Peter at 202-624-2807.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll and Mooring. Subscribe on iTunes or visit kroll.com/govconpodcast for more information.